Christian greetings to each one. In the name of Jesus, we are here because we love the Lord, because we love our brothers and sisters in the church, and it was a privilege again to come to service. And Sunday school lesson about lifting each other up or being helpers, being encouragers. And it's wonderful that this morning when we first come in here, I wasn't sure, are we going to have people here or not? But anyhow, I really appreciate the privilege of being here with our brothers and sisters and the visitors and whatever. Okay, I have some a key verse. I have a key verse for the message today, which is in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. And I will be going through various verses concerning the key verse is follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. This verse was ringing in my mind, and it's the subject was on my heart, and there are various thoughts concerning what holiness involves. And I'm not sure which verse it is, but was it Peter that says we need to be holy because he is holy? He, the Lord Jesus, and God is holy. And so, as I say, I'll be referring to a number of Bible verses. You might want to jot down the reference as I go through what the Bible says about holiness. And so, we certainly want to be holy, holy in God. And the Greek dictionary refines these words. You know, we want to look at some of those and what the Lord has to say about holiness. And holiness in this verse is translated from the Greek word as sanctification. Sanctification, yes. In 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, for this is the will of God for your sanctification, that we should abstain from fornication, that every one of us should know how to possess our vessel, the vessel in sanctification and honor. So, coming back again to the Greek dictionary, it defines these words as consecration, as purification, and the effect of consecration and sanctification of the heart and life. Now, Henry was just about getting in onto a message here. I thought, well, maybe he needs to take on, And I also realized that the thoughts that I have, some of them are just what Henry shared here a couple of weeks ago. And we would just continue on with this, and the amount of words as far as holiness, amount of words, there's at least, three or four, maybe more, that we need to deal with. The sanctification of heart and life. And, of course, this is produced in the heart and life that we live. And in some degree by the sanctification work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit living in us. And 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren and sisters, beloved of the Lord." We want to continue on. And God is faithful, who has called us. And so we want to continue on in these messages. If I don't get bundled up. So, beloved of the Lord, He loves us so much. He loves us more than we can imagine. And He wants us to live according to some of these verses that I will read. And so we want to continue on. Let's see here. The Bible has much to say about holiness in a saint's life. And God has taught us from the beginning. He has chosen us for salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of truth. And so in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 and 15. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." And your conversation, you know, that conversation means manner of living, how we live. Our conversation speaks loads. And so may we realize how Peter says this, "Wherefore," and I remember the German too, but I guess I don't have to say that, but a lot of them wouldn't understand it. Anyhow, "having therefore these promises, dearly beloved," you know, we were what we were before we came to Christ and really accepted that holiness. "The former lusts of your ignorance, fashioning yourselves according to that." You know, we changed when the Spirit of God got a hold of us. I remember as a young person some of the things that I was convicted of. Some of my doings and so forth. But here he says, you know, "having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." And so there can be no cleansing, there can be no perfecting of holiness unless or until that there is a cleansing of filthiness. Jesus said to the Pharisees, and you're all familiar with that, those verses as well, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and the platter." But he says, "Within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside may be clean also." Our lives, if they're not clean inside, it probably shows on the outside. And so this is what the writer says there in Matthew 23, verses 25 and 26. Now, Paul said to the saints in Rome, in Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 22, but now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. That transaction that is being made because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the psalmist said in Psalms 23, verse 1 and 3, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Righteousness is what God is looking for us. As the Savior, as the Holy Spirit fills us with life in Christ Jesus. And so Zacharias was speaking. Well, he was deaf, he was dumb. He couldn't speak until John the Baptist was born, and he was named John. And so here's the words that he said. He would grant us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Holiness and righteousness. James also makes it clear that all who are saved, begotten of the Word of God, the Word of truth, they need to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness, and receive them with meekness the engulfed Word, which is able to save your souls. Yes, James says that, and he goes also on, and some say that I have liberty to live like I want to. You know, we have that among our Mennonite people. I'm going to do what I want, regardless what you say. Well, some say I have liberty to do what I want. For a text also for their position in Galatians 5, 1, chapter 5, verse 1, he says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. But you know, Galatians also in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 13 says, for brethren, ye have been called into the liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And he goes on, this means, and I say that, this means do not use your liberty in Christ to sin. It doesn't go. That will just pile it up on top of yourselves. And as we continue to really surrender all, we have we have that blessed hope. I'm going to read also, where Paul tells Titus in chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. Yes, that blessed hope that God has for us. When we get that blessed hope within us, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, that is so wonderful. When we have that hope, if we have no hope, we won't get anywhere. That blessed hope beyond the grave through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, for all those that come to him. Yes, we can, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So continuing on here, Paul also told the saints in Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, furthermore, here Paul is teaching them, saying and encouraging them, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you to, by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. These commandments were given by the Lord. They were given by the Lord. We want to obey in these things. I can say that holiness is not merely absence of filthiness, but the indwelling Holy Spirit and his fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Romans 8:9 says, but ye are not in the flesh. Ye are not in the flesh. You know, our flesh takes us places we don't want to go, or we shouldn't go. And so may God help us. In Romans 6:22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're waiting for. We have this life in Christ Jesus. And he goes on here that, let's see, where was I at now? Having therefore these promises, I said some have liberty. Maybe I crossed in here somewhere. But anyhow, we want to continue on, knowing that God is so interested in us. And let's see, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Thus holiness, seen in a saved person's life by the endeavoring to obey the commandments of Christ and walk in his will. Now this is not legalism like some people want to claim that it is. They want to put a label on that. That's legalism. But I believe it's rightism. You may not have heard that word before, but I think it's just simply right to obey. The holiness is seen in a saved person's life by his endeavoring to obey the commandments of Christ and walk in his will. So there again, I mentioned this is not legalism, as some try to label it. This is rightism. And our sanctification, which is being saved from the power of sin day by day, by the walk of progression towards perfection, which will be gained at the first resurrection. Now, if I get started in the in Revelations there, I might get in too deep. But anyhow, because I really don't understand a lot of that. But still, we want to realize that this is what the Lord wants for us, the progression towards perfection, which will be gained at the first resurrection. I will turn to that just to, this is a growing process. And however, if one fights these truths, if one doesn't cater to these truths of God's holy word, he is lost. Yes, this is a growing process. However, if one fights these truths and lives like he pleases and continues to do so, he gives evidence in his life that he is not saved. He is lost. If they fight against the truths of God's word. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, makes it plain that he is not saved. For here's another quote of John in verse 2:15. He says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of God is not in him." Do we understand that? If we love the world, therefore we need to move away from worldly things, things that will get you into trouble in trying, if you try to obey but still love the world. John says, well, he's not saved. Yeah, the love of the Father is not in him. And so, follow peace with all men. The key verse again. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So, how do we go? And I hope you all stand with me on these truths of his word. And continue to grow in that. I must stand on this truth, and we certainly hope that everyone else here stands on it. But if there's someone here that is not really familiar with these words, these sanctification, this holiness and sanctification and purification and so forth, I still love you. We'll still love you. But please, look. Let us give ourselves wholly unto God, unto the Lord Jesus Christ, our heart and soul and mind and strength. Let us just live for Jesus Christ. John 10:27 says that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So this is where we want to be, followers of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And if we listen to these verses that we have gone over, There again, these commandments were given by the Lord Jesus, and I am just sharing with you all. Now, I'm going to turn over. I realize time is moving on. I'm going to turn over to the expression there that I made. This is rightism and our sanctification, which is being saved from the power of sin day by day by a walk of progression towards perfection, which will be gained at the first resurrection. The first resurrection, we read that in Revelation 20, verse 1 through 6. And I'm going to read that short. He says, of the first resurrection is the outline here. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set the seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. And he says, verse 6 there, that blessed me so much. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. When we really return to Christ, the first resurrection, there's many, many of our forefathers and the people even beyond, further back than that, they suffered much because of Jesus. They were slaughtered by hundreds. But the rest of the dead lived not again. But in verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. That resurrection, resurrect from our unholy life, resurrected and being born again through the power of the Holy Spirit. The second death will have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Well, I don't know just how that all works, but God has it all planned. Let's just trust and believe and know that God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise be to God that we have that blessed hope beyond the grave through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I have touched a bunch of verses and so forth. I know that my memory is not like it used to be, but anyhow, what I want to say now is in each place. This is now some words I got through Vine and Unger in their expression for for this the first resurrection and the faithfulness to God for us, as God has brought us this far in holiness and without you know, getting into the wrong road. Manifestation of the quality of holiness in personal conduct. Holiness of Christ in the days of his flesh, which distinguished him from all merely human beings. This, which is indicated, is the phrase, the spirit of holiness. And in vindication of it, his resurrection from the dead marked him out as he was declared to be the Son of God. Believers are to be perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Bring predestined, whereby they may be found unblameable in holiness through Christ. Now, there's a word there that I don't understand, but anyhow, in each of this character of verses which I used, there in these is a view of a perfect case of the Lord Jesus Christ growing toward perfection in the case of the Christian. Here, the exercise of love is declared to be the means God uses to develop likeness to Christ in his children. The sentence may be paraphrased thus. Listen to this now. The Lord enable you more and more to spend your lives in the interest of others. Sunday school lesson. In the interest of others, in order that he may be so establish you in Christian character now that you may be vindicated from every change that might possibly be brought against you at the judgment seat of Christ. So may God help us to be true and faithful to him. So I think that's about the end of my teaching here. And I want to thank you for your prayers. And in our Sunday school class, we talked about, you know, being of the same, all be the same, everybody's the same. And then when we have when we're not the same, why we are willing to be there for others. And when they were, brethren, were talking about it, I was just thinking about how Louise went through all that pain and stuff that she had, and all the letters and all the encouragements that we got, and the visitors. God bless you people. Help us all to be more and more willing to, and I need that. I'm talking to me first. And so we certainly want to love each other and be willing to share and help where help is needed. May the youth of our day really find this important as to be holy. Holy, for without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So let us be true and faithful. So let us stand for prayer.